From a warm spot in the cockles of my heart, in the darkest recesses of my mind, it's Joculation with your host, LB Faust. Joculation is an interactive social broadcast hosted by the cultural attaché to the SARS and ringmaster of the shit show himself, LB Faust. It features original satire, comedy, punk rock, and humorous bits every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. Due to copyright restrictions, all segments which feature music from other artists and performers have been removed from this recording. On with the show. Well, how the hell is everybody on this Friday, like before Christmas, Easter, something like that? It's one of those special holidays coming up, and it's going to be on Sunday from what I remember. I'm sure it'll all come back to me in just a few minutes here. Although, I don't know, man. Whiskey's my co-pilot, so we'll see whether or not it's going to help me remember. Hey, I'm LB Faust. You're listening to Joculation. Maybe. Could be. Who knows? It's good to go ahead and have you all here. And I see my circle of intimacies over here this evening.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
It was interesting, like April Fool's, because my daughter decided she wanted to go ahead and play some pranks. But I'll tell you what. While kids' pranks are kind of funny, the better pranks are when you have people like, or companies and organizations like Pornhub, going ahead and doing their April Fool's prank that they do each year, where they're basically putting up different types of notifications that say, hey, guess what? Yeah, it's Joculation. It's basically saying, you know, hey, thanks for sharing your porn to your social media pages, and so on and so forth, giving everybody this fucking heart attack that they can't believe. They're just like, oh my God, I didn't fucking do that. And it's like, no, you didn't. But you know what? If you'd like them to. And so me and AMR got into this conversation earlier, and she's kind of like sitting there talking to me and saying, you know, wouldn't it be great if what you do is you do like an in-depth film review of some fictitious porn movies or something like that, focused solely on the artistic and cinematic elements of the movie, right? So it's all kind of like, hey, check out the lighting that's going on in this film over here. And I'm like, so what? Are we sitting here like maybe like, you know, doing a fictitious review of like Bungle Bunnies number 89 or some shit like that? I'm like, are you kidding me, man? They'll instantly flag that shit and make it go away. Yeah, new hacker girl's like, did somebody say Pornhub? So, yeah, they'll instantly flag my shit and it'll be gone. She's like, why don't you go ahead and write this satirical piece on Steam? I'm like, I don't know. I'll think about it. Or Steam, listen to me. On Hive. Yeah, that's the one that I'm looking for on Hive. I'm sorry. Steam prices just have me captivated right now, right? Everything is new if your memory is shit, dude. Let me tell you. You know, I make this fantastic, great, analogy to my daughter. She'll come over to me and she'll be like, hey, you know something, Dad? Let me go ahead and tell you something. Do you think you can remember this? And I look down at her and I'm like, honey, listen to me, okay? At my age over here, there's no way I can remember that shit. Anything I put into my brain, something else falls out the back door. So if you're asking me to hold on to something, honey, I'm at maximum capacity right now. Please don't give me anything more to go ahead and hold in my memory. So at least we have some sort of a working thing like that. But you know something? This is going to be this fantastic, wonderful, like, I don't know, Easter-type show over here. Remember, kids, Easter is the season of miracles and all of that stuff. Exactly, son, talking about the plot. Yeah, I'm just curious how long it'll last. They'll probably flag my ass and throw me off like, traditional social media considering what they're doing. But this is the season of miracles this year, this particular part of the year, right? We have a couple of different seasons of miracles. We have a season of miracles in, like, Christmas and, like, another one now. Like, with this, pagan holiday that was just absolutely taken over by the Christians. But here's the greatest part about it is somebody's a little confused about what holiday it is because apparently a woman claims she was made pregnant by a gust of wind entering her vagina. That's right. I'll say it one more time. A woman claims that this season she was made pregnant by a gust of wind entering her vagina.
I mean, what the fuck?
Sounds fucking legit to me, but that's okay. It's CD, I can't even pronounce her name. She reportedly gave birth about an hour after realizing she is pregnant in Indonesia. She claimed that a gust of wind entered her vagina after finishing her prayers. Yeah, was she praying?
How about no?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so, but that's okay. Maybe I'm just being a little too judgy. You know what I'm saying? Like a dandelion. Exactly. Like a dandelion. So apparently, after afternoon prayer, after afternoon prayer, I was lying face down. Sounds like doggy position to me. I'm not judging. And then suddenly I felt a gust of wind enter my vagina. Just 15 minutes later, she said, she began to experience a pain in her stomach, which started to expand. All right. I'm trying not to make jokes at this point, but it's not working so far. So the news of her bizarre pregnancy spread quickly like herpes around the town and went viral on social media. Only the best kind, Normok. Only the best kind of blasphemy. So Iman, which is the director of Sidon's community clinic, added that CD most likely experienced a cryptic pregnancy. Ooh, that sounds really interesting. Where the woman is unaware about pregnancy until she goes into labor. I mean, do we believe this shit for 1 second? Hey, Carlos, what are you thinking?
No.
Yeah, I don't. I don't for a second. So following the birth, the cops visited her house and they started an entire fucking investigation. Holy shit balls, they're going and investigating this mysterious pregnancy after she was on her hands and knees face down back over inside the room somewhere and a gust of wind blew up her vagina. So at any rate, at least that's what they call it. So, quote, the point is that we want to straighten out the confusing news about the pregnant woman who gave birth in a way perceived to be unnatural. We don't want this matter to foster wild rumors among the public. So what they're effectively saying is, hey, listen, man, we don't want to go ahead and say she's lying and might have been adulterous, but we're just going to say it didn't happen the way that she thought, right? But we can't exactly say that because we got to preserve her dignity. Well, let me ask you a question, folks. Can we all agree that just given the mission statement around this police investigation and the fact the story has gone viral and is being run in tabloid news rags in other countries, maybe you completely and utterly failed in your fucking mission? I'm just thinking to myself, you know, that might be the thing, right? And I mean, here's your lethal. It's like one of those things where it's like, you know, here's your lethal respiratory pandemic amidst the warming weather, the bumblebees and the blooming flowers. And, you know, thinking of it all, what in the hell am I writing over here? At any rate, so like I was saying, hey, did LP's show notes get all fucked up over there? Huh? That's right. Look at this. My fucking soundboard's like slowing down and like, check it out. People are pouring in here. And, you know, all this stuff is going wrong, but it's a miracle from God. It's a fucking miracle from God. But remember, kids, it's the wrong type of miracle because we're not expecting, like, you know, divine conception. That's later at the end of the season. What we're anticipating is like a resurrection from the fucking dead. You know what I'm saying? That's what we're looking for. But at any rate, back to the somber joyfulness of the season and the symbolism. Remember, it's a time when all eyes turn to St. Peter's Basilica for the Pope to lead the world in thoughts and prayers and perhaps set thirst traps all over the world everywhere, right? And I know what you're saying, LP. What are you talking about? Well, apparently, you know, the previous Pope, Pope Benedict the 23rd, I guess it is, or 24th. Well, he's pretty freaking awesome looking because a teacher denies humping the cardboard cutout of the Pope in a viral video dance mishap. So apparently a teacher is accused of humping a cardboard cutout of the Pope and has blamed the joke on his poor dad dancing. Andrew Phillips Jones, head of former religious education, denied, quote, thrusting his hips at an image of Pope Benedict the 24th during a charity video based on a viral dance, the Harlem Shake in 2013. I'm going to stop right there. I don't ever fucking recall the Harlem Shake having like some grinding shit involved in it. But then again, do I even fucking know dance?
How about new?
Absolutely not, man. At any rate, let's continue on, right? So Mr. Jones also claimed he was unaware pupils in the unplanned video, we'll put that in air quotes, the unplanned video were just happened to be holding model penises and religious objects in dress.
I mean, what the fuck?
So, you know, apparently they brought a bunch of dance accessories and a few things to go ahead and make the video a little bit more authenticious and shit like that. And at any rate, an Education Workforce Council hearing later His spokesperson described the leaked footage as a charity video aimed at motivating pupils that had gone, quote, horribly wrong. Well, let's see. A charity video to motivate pupils. Might be that you succeeded in that, but I mean, let's be real, right? I understand it's a pagan celebration of fertility, but I guess the larger question is, did the papal dress or the come-hither stalkerish gaze from Pope Benedict the 24th, that cardboard cutout, inspire him for those hip thrusts? I'm just gonna, you know, I'm kind of wondering over there. Or maybe it was just how the denture cleaner made those pearly whites glisten under the blue fluorescent lighting. That might have been what actually tipped everything over the edge for this man. I mean, the Easter miracle of the effort and challenge is something that's sorely missing on TikTok this Easter season. And I'm kind of offended at this ageist discrimination during this time of inclusion that we have not seen the effort and challenge over there yet. I'm a little bit offended. Is everybody else a little bit offended?
I mean, what the fuck?
So let me tell you something, okay? You're probably going to be put on some sort of paid leave or something. Can you do me a favor there, Mr. Jones, and just, like, get on that effort and challenge over on, like, freaking TikTok? I'd appreciate it, okay?
Did I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
So effort and challenge, right? And, of course, we've got to go ahead and keep the season in the, you know, perspective, and it's got to be somber. It's got to be all sorts of things. And then this story breaks out just in time from, like, Clay's home state, Louisiana, just in time for Easter. Well, apparently what winds up happening is a Louisiana priest and two dominatrices are charged with vandalism after an altar threesome.
I mean, what the fuck?
Shall we say it again? A Louisiana priest and two dominatrices are charged with vandalism after an altar threesome. So apparently a former Louisiana priest and two dominatrices were slapped with vandalism charges for having sex atop a church altar in September of last year. Did Normock leave yet? So apparently Travis Clark and the two women that were initially charged by police with obscenity. And then, of course, you know, a passerby saw them through the church window, got all offended and reported them to the police. And then Clark was subsequently removed from the church the day after his arrest. What a surprise. So the actual church is St. Peter and Paul's Catholic Church in Pearl River, NOLA, there, in the event that you're trying to find the church there, Clay. So the two dominatrices, Mindy Dixon and 28-year-old Melissa Chang, they were wearing corsets and high heels during the threesome, which was being recorded, of course. And sex toys and stage lights were recovered at the scene by police, along with recording devices. Can I just stop there? They're sitting there going ahead. They were recovered. As though they were like stray animals in the fucking wild or something like that, right? It's like, oh, there's a dildo over there. Quick, get a plastic bag. At any rate. So the attorney, of course, not for the former priest, because the former priest obviously can't afford an attorney, but the two dominatrices can, and they get the fucking world's greatest goddamn attorney you could possibly imagine, because he's over there saying with a straight face, hey man, the state prosecutors have overstepped their bounds by bringing charges against him. It's clear the state went out of its way to contort the facts in this case and in order to fit their own narrative. This is nothing more than a thinly veiled attempt to regulate the morality of private individuals. Just because you don't like something doesn't make it criminal. My clients are looking forward to their day in court as we continue to fight this baseless allegation. Hold on a second, man. Bro, you broke into a fucking church. You decided to film a private porn over on the thing. What the fuck are you talking about, baseless allegations here? I'm just saying, man. Listen, man, I suppose in some ways hiring two dominatrices to have an orgy on the altar rather than just sexually assaulting the altar boys on the altar, if any of the past settlements of the Catholic Church are any indication, I mean, at least it's a step in the right direction of change, right? At the very least, it's like a more cost-effective solution, which maybe leaves a little more offertory donations to help the poor needy, or, you know, maybe to get that new 70-inch OLED TV for the rectory. I mean, can we all agree that, like, burning down the altar maybe went a little bit too far? I mean, you could have just grabbed, like, the jizz mopper from the local adult video glory hole booth and just had him clean the scene up and just, like, I don't know, reconsecrated the altar. Aside from, like, saving cash, right? The upside is imagine how that altar will light up like a Christmas tree under UV lights just in time for the Christmas celebration with a minimal spend on decor, right? I'm hearing crickets. What, too soon? And, you know, it's a challenging time for the PR of the Catholic Church, coupled with the needy alternative to find more PC outlets to substitute for, like, sexual assault settlements with the altar boys, right? I mean, we want to go ahead and make sure the funds are spent properly, that people don't go off the fucking handle, and, I don't know, maybe blow 150K of it on porn. You know what I mean? And Normark,
what the fuck?
Dude, let me tell you something. My feed is fucking awesome. It's so great. It entertains not only me, but you guys every week. I'll tell you what, man. The FBI file on me should be absolutely fucking wonderful. And confusing. But I digress, man. So apparently Glenn Yothers over at 56, he faces some theft charges after being accused of stealing more than $150,000 from St. Paul Lutheran Church in Unity Township to pay for his porn addiction. Oh, my God. So Yothers, who was the church treasurer for a dozen years, he's being accused of using the cash to gawk at pornographic websites over a four-year period leading up to 2019. And then, of course, we get the fucking Inspector Clouseau award of the fucking week here. When Trooper Steve LaMotte told WPXI, one of the red flags that popped up were the bills stopped getting paid at the church. No fucking kidding. Hey, Captain Obvious. Dude, you have a fucking death grip on the obvious, and I'm glad to see that you're on the case there. Holy fucking shit. I'll be making sure nobody goes to church this week. Hey, man, I'm just here to report the facts. That's all I'm doing. This news happened to fall into my feed. What am I going to do? Keep it all to myself? Absolutely not. I'm going to go ahead and share it with the fucking world. That's what I'm going to do. So we've got our Inspector Clouseau over there. And what does he do? He goes ahead and lets us know that the key moment that everybody figured out something was up was when the fucking bills stopped getting paid over at the church. Oh, my God. And you know something, kids? Speaking of, like, somber and heartfelt moments during this season of miracles, I almost forgot to include something very, very important. The latest winners of the Great Moments and Just Shut the Fuck Up Awards. Hey, Hive. How you doing? Look at that. Hey, Hive. Hi, Qua. See, look at that. I'm like changing my attention from one spot to the other over here. And I'm trying to go ahead and have banter with Normark while I'm sitting here going, oh, my God, do we need to crazy glue the fucking like OBS back together over here? Hopefully it won't let out in the middle of this whole thing. You know how it is. At any rate, who could possibly be the person who wins this week's Great Moments and Just Shut the Fuck Up? Huh? Any guesses? I don't know. Perhaps maybe like Olivia Jade, who can't shut the fuck up. So Olivia Jade, if you don't know who she is, she's the daughter of actress Lori Loughlin and designer Massimo Giuliani. And apparently this chick right here, Lori Loughlin's like famous for all the Hallmark movies and all that crap. Well, what they wound up doing was they wound up bribing some, they gave like $500,000 or something to one of the people that's part of the row team, and basically guaranteed her a spot in school, right? Why, thank you, Normark. I'll be waiting for the knock on the door. Well, apparently, Olivia J. Giuliani has found herself in hot water once again, saying that she was, quote, publicly shamed following her family's involvement in the 2019 college admission scandal. She's found herself in hot water once again for saying she was publicly shamed following her family's involvement in the 2019 college admission scandal. And if you'd like to listen to her nonsense, you can just click on the link I put in the room over there. And, of course, the link is posted in none other than TikTok, right?
I mean, what the fuck?
So I was like, man, it's a shame that she's not, like, doing this in the middle of one of those stupid fucking challenges, right? I mean, she could just go to a hardware store and, I don't know, get some beauty products or something like that and just start talking and doing her little thing as she's putting, like, the Gorilla Glue in the hair and, you know, all that shit. Well, let's just stop there for a sec, right? Aside from being the single greatest repository of natural selection-inspired challenge videos and tutorials from, like, the second graders attempting to cook and dance, it turns out this pox on human history, that being TikTok, serves yet another porta-potty confessional type thing, right? you know, the confessional style video that Miss Olivia Jade here is giving us, filled with all those fucking insincere vulnerability moments meant to convey, I'm opening up, like with feelings, not like a can of bullshit like one would expect. It's kind of like stepping into a porta potty to pinch a loaf of insincere vulnerability and add to like the 6 feet of accumulated disposable and forgettable shitpost confessionals. And of course, all the flies and the dung beetles of sycophants all buzzing around inside there, they just add to this fantastic, you know, aroma and feeling and sensation, the authenticity of the entire experience. But I digress, right? Quote, we were talking, and this is from Olivia Jade, mind you, her video that she's got up there. We were talking about being in the public and being publicly shamed, and I was like, well, in my situation, it doesn't even compare. I'm not even going to start to compare it to yours. And she looked at me and she said, Olivia, it doesn't matter if I'm drowning in 60 feet of water and you're drowning in 30. We're both still drowning. I think we're all quick to put people down. And I just want people to remember, like, if your feelings are hurting, they're valid to you, then they're valid. It doesn't matter if somebody else is going through worse or if I've shit on them or taken their opportunities away from them being a criminal. You're allowed to have a hard time in this world, but that doesn't take away from somebody else, and that shouldn't take away from you. Well, you know something? Olivia Jade's public shaming came after her parents agreed to pay bribes totaling $500,000 to get her and her sister recruited to the University of Southern California's crew team. Now, I know what you're saying, right? You're going to say, ALP, leave the tin-eared, ignorant, rich kid alone. Her parents probably did a lot of shady shit without her knowledge, right? I mean, it's possible her parents could be a sack of shit and she's just a victim. Darcico, you're making me laugh. Well, she's not a real victim in life, actually. Yet it would seem she does play one on TV. You know, kind of like how Willow Smith pretends she's not privileged on TV when she's lecturing you on Red Table Talk. I mean, parents paid a man named William Rick Singer more than $25 million to help get their kids into college. Olivia, and according to, I guess it's an article that's in Us Weekly, Olivia fully knew what her parents did to get her into USC, but didn't think there was anything wrong with it. She didn't get into any other California schools. So, moreover, they say that she was CC'd on all of the emails between her parents and Mr. Singer. So let me just put it to you this way, Olivia. Behaving like a victim after being publicly shamed for your parents' criminal activity, you know, paying a bribe to get on a rowing activity, on a rowing team, which you allegedly knew about, is actually a bit lower than when Prince Chucky keeps trying to order up a side of black friends to go with the white guilt from the In-N-Out at Jesus House in a disingenuous bid to prove to the world he's not a racist. So do us a favor, right? Just shut the fuck up already. Peddle some diet pills or something on Instagram and be thankful you're part of the Lucky Sperm Club, okay? I mean, come on, man. We don't ask a lot of the parasite influencers that are out there over on Instagram. Come on, man. Could you just meet our minimum expectations? We'd appreciate it. And of course, there's always the honorable mention of the great moments in Shut the Fuck Up with, you know, Madison Cawthorn, right? So apparently, Mr. Madison Cawthorn over here... The newly minted representative from North Carolina that just wants to go out there and own the libs. Right, Mr. Madison Cawthorn, he celebrated funds going to community health centers in his district as part of the $1.9 trillion relief bill that he voted against, even though polling suggested it had bipartisan support among voters. Yet now our 25-year-old parasite lawmaker appears to be fishing for credit from his constituents. I love this. His tweet is like, dude, happy to announce that NC-11 was awarded grants from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, he tweeted. Proud to see taxpayer dollars return to his district. Hey, let me tell you something there, you know, Maddie. If you're looking for something to take credit for, something helpful that you both never actually did and opposed in the first place, I got a great one for you. How about you go over and help out Mr. Representative Matt Gaetz? He needs a friend and someone to take credit for some of his alleged activities. You know what I mean? I mean, if somebody's actually being charged with violating sex trafficking laws with a 17-year-old minor, and his first statement out of the gate is, quote, I have a suspicion that someone is trying to recategorize my generosity to my ex-girlfriends as something more untoward, That dude needs to fucking phone a friend real quick. And considering he's complete pariah at his own party at this stage of the game, hey, you know something, Maddie? Why don't you go over and help out your friend over there? He could use somebody to just kind of help him out. Take a little bit of the credit. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, Gabriel's like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's because you're a dingo, bro. You're not over here in the United States. You're not enjoying all the pedophilia news that's over here about our good friend Matt Gaetz, allegedly. Right? I got to say allegedly. Hey, listen, you're enjoying yourself in this fantastic Easter show, well, pre-Easter show, and you know something? It's time for me to take a break and get some whiskey and figure out what in the hell just happened to my freaking notes. So I'll tell you what, I'm going to take care of that, and we're going to go ahead and take a break. I'm LP Faust, I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show, and this very special Easter edition of Joculation. So yeah, Krim, we're just having a wonderful little Easter show over here, you know what I'm saying? You missed all the fun stuff at the beginning there, but that's okay. We'll probably cover it a little bit later. Hey, guys, this is Joculation. I'm LP Faust, your host. You're listening to it, maybe. Maybe not. Who knows? So we went ahead and had all of our sacrilegious shit at the beginning of the show, and we'll go ahead and move on to some of the other stuff because we've come to the cultural part of the show. Isn't that the part of the show that we all love? Of course, and the circle of intimacy has grown just a little bit over here.
One of us, okay? That's one of us. Google gobble, yeah. One of us. We accept that one of us. Google gobble, one of us. We accept that one of us.
So let's see. We got AMR. We got Gabriel. We got, Hey, Nine, I really love that name, Banished by Ron. We got Breeze. Breeze, isn't it like your bedtime or something over there? I'm just wondering. And we got Clay, and we got Krim, and we got Darsko, we got First Amendment, Hivequa. We got Naj. We got Normok. We got... Agent Zero, we got Ron, we got Sun, we got this new hacker girl. Oh my gosh. Look at that. I've got so many different things. It's the fancy new show graphics. I've already done a full 360 in my head. Nah. Nah. Don't worry. We'll get to the good stuff, Normok, because I know you were a little bit bothered by some of our hymnals that we had a little bit earlier there, right? It's your wake-up time. Well, check this shit out, right? So one of the big issues that we have right now in our culture is it's this, you know, times are really tough for the businesses that are out there. Wait a minute. Wrong. I'll get it right sometime. So apparently what happens is like over in the wonderful world of like April Fools, which we were talking about earlier, as you know, yeah, Full House and not the show, you know, but although we did talk about Olivia Jade a little bit earlier, but I digress. So April Fools, they had a lot of really cool campaigns out there to troll the shit out of everybody, but the best by far has to be the Velveeta cheese campaign because Velveeta teased creamy liquid gold skincare just in time for April Fool's Day. So the Velveeta, the cheese that is, the brand responsible for the creamy orange sauce on all the shelves, blew mac and cheese lovers and skincare junkies' minds when they announced the release of V by Velveeta, a skincare line that bottles the liquid gold unique into the brand.
I mean, what the fuck?
Dude, that's got to be the greatest fucking thing ever, right? What flavor? I have no idea. Oh, that wasn't for me. Okay, so the brand first teased the collection, aptly called V by Velveeta, via Instagram on March 30th. Immerse yourself in the serenity of smoothness. Indulge your indulgences, the creaminess of Velveeta, now in skincare. Well, that's what, at least that's how the video was narrated. Probably a little bit better than what I did, right? And it flashes this lineup of sleekly packaged products at the end. Now, what kind of products are you thinking of, right? Well, first off, before we get into the actual product line, go check out the V for Velveeta freaking skincare line over there. It actually has like a renewal serum that promises to uncover the dreamy, radiant golden glow for just $40. There's also a $35 daily moisturizer to help replenish skin and a $50 night cream to revitalize your skin's natural creamy complexion. And I'm thinking to myself, you too can have that fake spray-on tan of Donald Trump only on the V for Velveeta line. And you know what? It's probably nacho cheese flavored. I mean, what's better than nacho cheese flavor, right? And of course, you know, we talk about culture and shit, and I always take a moment to bash the living shit out of TikTok and this terrible, this fantastically awesome train wreck of a fucking application that it is. But you know something? It seems that something is sneaking up on TikTok. In the event that you've not heard about Clubhouse, because it's so exclusive you have to be invited to join, they basically now have created a room where people moan like whales.
I mean, what the fuck?
And I know what you're asking yourself, moan like whales? What the fuck are you talking about, LP? Well, one particular room in this thing, and it's called the Whale Moan Room. It broke out of Clubhouse and went viral on Twitter after multiple groups of users began claiming, is this your room, Qua? Good one, Ron. Where multiple users began claiming they were the original creators, culminating in the arguments being drowned out by the calls to settle things with, of all things, a moan-off, right? I mean, that's the way it should be. Two people come in, one person leaves. Isn't that like what Thunderdome is? Something like that. So participants in the room ceaselessly moan like whales, sometimes making up whale characters with backstories while the moderators speak in human language and pretend to be whale researchers. See, it's simple. And I think what we need to do is we need to go ahead and have a moan off next time. And like, I don't know, the open talk channel or whatever it is, you know? What channel is it up there? Hey, Eileen. It's the, I don't know. The General Voice channel. That's what we got to do. We got to have a moan off in the General Voice channel. So apparently at the beginning, there were a lot of moan rooms, okay, stretching back to the earliest days of this disaster. Various iterations have emerged where some offered cash prizes and others simply a chance to hone the craft of whale moaning. These earlier iterations have popped in and out of awareness, like when actor Lakeith Stanfield won a $300 cash prize back in December for moaning. And by the way, there's a video of this shit on YouTube if you're interested. Out of all of this, whole moan rooms were born. And then from there, the rooms quickly grew as hundreds of people joined to take place in not only the whale moan room, but also for rooms like the Super Saiyan Screams and a room called Asian Parents Giving Words of Affection, or excuse me, of Affirmation, which I can't see how that's not racist, but whatever, man. Hey, it's out there. It's out there. I didn't create it. So for a while, things seemed to be running smoothly, and then all of a sudden, influencers, those fucktards, decided that the app was worthy of going ahead and checking out and caught wind of these rooms. And then that's when the first began with other moan rooms popping up and turning into attempts to claim ownership of the idea and erase the actual purpose of the moan rooms. And we'll stop there. And it's like, you mean there was actually a fucking purpose to this? I'm just wondering. Because
how about new?
Yeah, fuck that, man. Don't talk to me about how it's helped to help everybody understand each other in a nonverbal kind of a way using other forms of communication during this time in which we're dealing with the pandemic exhaustion and we need to connect through whale moans. Because do I fucking believe that for one fucking minute? I'm just asking.
No.
Fuck no, man. What it is it's a bunch of people that have nothing better to do that effectively went ahead and decided to create this whole fucking weird subculture. So the article goes on to basically talk about suddenly cultural appropriation is taking place in the Clubhouse whale moan circle because apparently, whale moan rooms on Clubhouse are exclusive to the Black and Asian communities, but specifically the Southeast Asian communities because fuck you Northern Asian whale moan imposters in particular, right? Now, fortunately, it's an invite-only app right now, so there's at least a small sliver of hope that the upcoming set of natural selection challenges to rival TikTok, only now it's the audiobook version, might be contained inside this disaster across the gated community of collective ignorance that is the fucking whale moan room over here inside of freaking Clubhouse. And if you recall, guys, right, we sit here and we talk about culture as a whole. Last week, we talked about how scientists have concluded that by 2045, men will be infertile and will all be sporting micropenises because of phthalate syndrome from plastics. Well, kids, apparently, one man turned to the Home Depot hardware aisle in an attempt to buck the trend, and something I can only believe must be inspired from endless hours of competing in the latest TikTok challenge. Are we ready for the disaster? Apparently, this man was rushed to the hospital after putting a ring on his penis in a desperate bid to make it bigger. So this unnamed, hopeless romantic wanted to impress his date and had heard of a simple trick using only the contents of his toolbox to do the job. So this man from Bangkok, Thailand, believed that by putting his penis through a nut, it would enlarge and strengthen it by forcing blood into the glands, okay?
I mean, what the fuck?
Let me just say that one more time. A man from Bangkok, Thailand, believed that by putting his penis through a nut, it would enlarge and strengthen it by forcing blood to the glands. Dude, you fucking Darwin Awards, man. However, after using baby oil to slide his member into the nut, the next day his penis started to swell, and he began experiencing pain and was unable to remove it. You fucking think? I'm just saying, you know? Oh, my God. So, instead, a horror turn of events happened. The metal rings became stuck, forcing medics to carefully slice through it with a metal cutter. Paramedics discovered the man's swollen member was stuck in a tiny metal nut with a diameter of, and please don't chuckle, 3 centimeters and 1.5 centimeters thick. Oh, shit, I can't do this. Let's say this again. The paramedics discovered that the man's swollen member, I mean, can we even call that a swollen member? I'm just saying, right? At any rate, so the swollen member was stuck in a tiny metal nut with a diameter of 3 centimeters and 1.5 centimeters thick. Good God. He told medics, I was terrified I would need my penis amputated. It had swollen so much that I thought it would burst. And I'm just kind of sitting there saying, considering that it's a 3 centimeter diameter aperture and it's 1.5 centimeters thick, then that would basically mean that it's only about maybe 2 centimeters of girth for you to go ahead and slide this thing through with baby oil. God, I feel bad for him. Well, no, I don't, because otherwise. And, of course, AMR puts up a fucking reference sheet. Here's what a centimeter looks like. Here's what 3 centimeters look like. How teeny tiny can your penis be? Oh, my God. Well, at any rate, doctors refused to tell them how he managed to get the nut stuck on his penis. They said he was using it as a substitute for a, quote, erection-enhancing loop. So, I'm feeling confident that it's some way, shape, or form, you know, Mother Nature will go ahead and weed all this stuff out, and maybe, just maybe, we can go ahead and ensure that the human race might live on. I'm just saying. Oh, wait, I said race. So the human animal, or should I just go ahead and borrow Cope's phrase, that the human condition will live on. What do you think? Or do we have a lot of faith that this is probably going to happen?
How about new?
There's just too many of them on TikTok. We're all going to fucking die. On that fucking note, hey, man, happy Easter. I'm going to take a break here. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars, ringmaster of the shit show this evening. What a disaster. You know something, Ron? I got to remember to go ahead and stack like about 18 of those songs together so that I can actually have like 1 second to type up a comment because, holy shit, man, love punk music. It'd be great if it was just a little longer. You know what I'm saying? Hey, kids, it's like the Easter show over here, and it's Joculation, and I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. So we've offended people at the beginning of this thing, maybe offended a few more there in the middle of it. You know something? That's okay because, hey, you're going to know instantly whether or not this show is for you. That's the greatest part about it, right? About 5 minutes, you can go, I think, yeah, this is probably the show I've been looking for. Just play that one. No, I'm not going to go ahead and play anything with Bad Bobby in it. And yes, Gabriel, I saw that Bad Bobby allegedly breaks the Instagram record, even though, like, as I remember, what's her face? The former Disney chick who made, like, 2 million in, like, instants. Just instantly before everybody got pissed off with her. Shit, I can't even remember. At any rate, whatever. We're not going to talk about Bad Bobby. We're going to be talking about, like, all the tough times for businesses, man. I don't want to hear anyone say that wealth is linked to good genes anymore. All right, you said it, not me, First Amendment. I just read it. That's all. That's all I did. So apparently fucking times are really tough because, you know, with this pandemic season going on with, you know, friggin' COVID spreading like the fucking bumblebees and all that stuff, everything being shut down, businesses have been having really tough times. So much so that the senator from Montana apparently has been complaining and waxing nostalgic that local meth producers can't compete with the Mexican imports anymore. So, you know, we gotta...
I mean, what the fuck?
Where the fuck is their bailout already, right? So Montana Senator Steve Daines was caught on camera appearing to wax nostalgic about the good old days when Montana's basement-dwelling meth cooks had yet to be driven out of business by the high-purity Mexican imports. Quote, 20 years ago, meth was homemade. It was homegrown, and you had purity levels less than 30%. Today, that meth is getting into Montana, or the meth that's coming into Montana, is from Mexican cartels. So I had to, like, look twice just to verify that he was, in fact, from Montana and not a border state because, I mean, like, I wasn't aware that the cartel tunnels from the border end at the meth lab directly under the Chuck E. Cheese in Billings, Montana. I mean, fuck, man, who knew? I never knew that this was a problem. And you know something, Stevie? You might just be getting ahead of yourself a little bit there because as I'm sitting here, like, scratching my head and thinking a little bit, I seem to recall hearing something on this proposed infrastructure bill that Joe Biden's going to go put out there. It's got a bunch of earmarks for domestic meth lab production because, you know, buy American, bitches. You know how it is. And then, of course, competition can be tough, especially when people are suing the living shit out of you all the time. Kind of like what happened after, you know, these Satan shoes came out. Because Nike's decided to sue the living shit out of the shop that created them. So you might see little Nas over there, I think is the dude's name. But Nike suing a small Brooklyn-based novelty shop, accusing it of trademark infringement for repurposing used pairs of Nike Air Max 97s. The company's trademark infringement case will be closely watched given the prevalence of repurposing and remixing that permeates contemporary pop culture, from music to clothing to social media. So this is actually going to have some relevance to things as they go forward. So the shoes feature the brand's signature swoosh logo prominently on the side of the shoe and on its tongue. The shoes, which sold out in minutes, cost $1,018. And a reference to the Bible passage, Luke 10:18, reads, "I saw Satan fall like like lightning from the heavens." I'm laughing because this shit's just in time for the fucking Easter holiday season. I mean, the timing of this couldn't be fucking better. So motivation for the Sneaker Giants lawsuit is the damage to Nike's brand, which apparently is significant enough that it impacted the price of the company's shares. After politicians and religious authorities called for a boycott of the athletic clothing company, despite its increasingly desperate statements, "I had nothing to do with making the mark of Satan shoes." So it got me to thinking, right? So basically now, instead of bitching about shitty business practices, right, and trying to start boycotting products, now it appears the solution is to troll in a super elegant way. Just simply remix the products into something totally new and offensive. It's almost like a CDO again, right? Where they basically take all the shit that didn't work, put it all together, right? In some sort of cohesive way, and just shove a new shit product out there. So this is what got me thinking. You notice how the hedge fund and banking practices have now inspired, like, unlocked and unlocked godlike fucking trolling? I mean, just think about it, right? Veet, for instance, which is a depilatory cream to remove hair. It had a legendary comment thread about one person's terrible Veet experience. Could you imagine if they wanted to troll the shit out of this product? They could just turn around and go, "Hey, you know what? Let's go get the container of Veet and let's go ahead and maybe remix it and turn our new remix product into a paint stripper." I mean, could that potentially do brand equity damage? I think so. I think so. But this is where we're at in the new day and age of things, which makes me think that some of my product offerings I might want to reconsider. But, you know, sometimes you just have to evolve your business practices maybe just a little bit. So great case in point in capitalism. This Girl Scout effectively went ahead and sold a record 32,484 boxes of cookies in one season. And I'm like, that is godlike levels of freaking selling Thin Mints, man. Holy fucking shit. So Lily Bumpus, she's 8 years old. She overcame a form of cancer known as Ewing's sarcoma. And her whole troop is approximately like, they all are like cancer survivors. Well, she sold cookies from a booth set up outside her San Bernardino home and collected orders online, many of which were donation orders for patients at various children's hospitals in the area. So a lot of people approached them and thought they had big sponsors, but they're saying their biggest order place was like 100 boxes. She reached 32,000 boxes just out of everyone seeing value in buying one box, two boxes, or four boxes. So to give you an idea of just exactly how much she fucking did, that kid went ahead and sold 500 boxes one day. And to put it in context, the largest record, or I should say the biggest record the Girl Scouts had to date was when a woman opened up one of her tables, one of her kids' Girl Scout tables right next to the Mariano's dispensary over in California. And she went ahead and broke 450 boxes in one day next to the dispensary. This kid out of her front lawn, going ahead and using an application, you know, creating a web page or whatever the fuck she did, she went ahead and basically broke that. And I'm like, holy fuck, man. Talk about adapting. They could have saved a lot of money buying cancer kid dollar store cookies. But they didn't, man. But they didn't. And of course, you know, when all else fails and you can't go ahead and adapt your business model, you just got to go ahead and come up with a brand new type of product to sell and shill. Kind of like, I don't know, maybe a dildo that buzzes when your order's ready or on the way from Grubhub. So a company called Cam Soda just released a new product called Grub Buzz, which, you know, harnesses the power of internet-connected sex toys, a.k.a. teledildonics. And since clitoral vibrations to people as their takeout food from a national chain or local favorite is being prepared and ultimately delivered. So let's go through how this actually works. The frequency of the vibrations increase through the food delivery process. So, for example, the vibration frequency starts slowly when somebody's order is received by the restaurant. It progressively increases. And the driver leaves the restaurant with the order, drives closer to their residence, and arrives at the door. Yeah, Al Pacino, are you trying to go ahead and take a look and see what other products are offered in the teledildonics, you know, field over there? I'm just curious. I'm asking for a friend. So at any rate, Darren Parker, the vice president of Cam Soda, says people have been stuck at home for over a year now. They've grown accustomed to ordering takeout food from their favorite restaurant regularly. Quarantine cravings are real, and so too is the COVID-19 delivery food boom. Here at Cam Soda, we figured we'd combine these popular activities to produce a technology that gets people off while their food delivery order is being prepared and ultimately delivered. So with Grub Buzz, not only will your mouth be watering when your order is being processed, but so too will your private parts. What better way to eat some of your favorite food from Olive Garden, Red Lobster, Outback Steakhouse, P.F. Chang's, than after you've orgasmed? And I'm just laughing my ass off because I'm sitting there thinking, right? Imagine if you freaking peek right when the guy parks the car and he's running up the stairs, right? All of a sudden, if you're a squirter, boom, you've got a puddle in front of you and you're slipping and sliding and killing yourself in, like, you know, a cum drunk haze, trying to get to the door so you can go ahead and get your P.F. Chang's, you know, like freaking orange chicken, whatever the fuck it is. How could this possibly be a good idea? Not that I'm against it. And kids, just to let you know, don't think that this is gender specific, because Cam Soda is initially launching a Grub Buzz for females only. A male version will debut in the coming months, because gender equality, man. Nothing says I'm ready to eat like having a load in your shorts, guys. You know what I'm saying? Imagine that. You come to the door. Your pants are like all stuck to you in some freaking saran wrap fashion. It's hardening up like a fucking paper mache. You know what I'm saying? And you're sitting there trying to keep a straight face and get your food and go back and change and eat. You know what I'm saying? How could this possibly be a bad thing? You got to read the article for more details. Exactly, Breeze. That's why I put the articles in the room, because I'm only going to give you the greatest hits, man. You got to go ahead and actually look at them yourself. And just in that vein, right? Is anyone else feeling like a sudden impulse to order some takeaway right about now? I'm just wondering. Or maybe it's me. At any rate, man, I got to take a break over here because I'm getting parched. I got to go ahead and actually drink something. And hopefully, this will last more than like 6 seconds, you know? I got to like cobble together a bunch of different things. I had to go ahead and laugh because right when Suicidal Tendencies comes on, two things happen. My feed gets polluted with some very important news. And I watch Dark Femme walk in for about 5 seconds and immediately turn around and walk out. Like I said, man, you're going to know real fast whether or not this is your thing. But that's okay, man. It's not for everybody. We're here for the people that it is for. You know what I'm saying? And the important things that have polluted my feed this evening, one of the more important things, is apparently a Swedish study has determined that, you know, Viagra may also lengthen a man's lifespan. So effectively what they're saying, and I'll let you go ahead and read through all of these vasodilator inhibitor thing majigs, whatever the fuck it is. So in a nutshell, what they're saying is it's better for men to walk around with an uncontrolled erection that lasts 5 hours or more than, you know, to let you die of like early cardiovascular disease. So, you know, pretty soon this will go ahead and be part of it. And don't worry, folks, because by 2045, we're going to have all the men are going to have micro penises and will be infertile anyways. So does it really matter at the end of the day? I mean, I'm just asking for a friend.
Right? How about new?
No, man, we'll just all sit there and it really won't make a whole bunch of difference. So, Gabriel, it's not a cover is my answer to you. So that happens to be one of my favorite songs from somebody who's long missed over here. I should say, or greatly missed over here. Tom Gent used to be a part of the community and pretty active inside of here. In fact, when I had started out doing this particular show, and not necessarily this one, but when I had started on MSP Waves, I was introduced to Tom Gent through somebody else, one of the people that was on the show itself. And I forget how he wound up meeting him, but Tom and I became friends, and he had sent some of his music over to me. So I don't know exactly what happened to him. I think Krim knows more. But he released this particular album. This was the last album that he had released, which I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But the soundtrack is called Mercury Falling, and it's an original from Tom. So I would invite you guys to actually listen to some of Tom Gent's music if you're into that sort of a thing. It was called it's from Genetic Trauma, actually, which was his first one, I think. Yeah, because Beyond Repair was his second one. And I'm taking a look over here on Spotify. I don't see Beyond Repair. So I don't know exactly what happened or if it's just that right now it's filtered out of my selection. But yeah, check out Tom Gent's stuff over there. He's got some really good stuff. The thing that everybody knows him for, at least in the group here, is for another piece that he's done, which I played a few times in the past, quite a few, because I think it's also one of his greater pieces. But when you're talking about the stuff, the original stuff that he's creating here, I got to say Mercury Falling, I think, is one of his better ones from his earlier stuff. There's other stuff from Beyond Repair that I like more. So yeah, go check it out, man. At any rate, this is our Easter show. We're about, what, half hour out from being finished. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host. Yeah. You know, Krim, it's like when I stop and I think about all of the people that have come and gone inside of the community, I do miss Tom quite a bit. It's one of the things that I would really love to see him come back. I don't know if it's in the cards for him to be able to come back, but it would be cool to have him back in the community again. But that being said, hey, man, I'm LP Faust. You're on the Easter edition of Joculation. You know how it is. We've covered a lot of ground here over in the past hour and a half. And, you know, we're coming up on the last bits and vestiges of the show. So I'll tell you what, man. In this part of the show, we decided to go ahead and take a look at, like, a lifestyle of bad choices. Right, you got to get a couple of really, really interesting things inside of there and smash them all up. I mean, we've gone through the sacrilegious into the crazy fucking world of what business is going to look like going forward and on and on and on. But you know what the greatest thing is? As I'm sitting here in the middle of wiring up my merch and all that sort of stuff, and I'm awfully close at this stage of the game, one of the things that came up was, you know, I'm thinking of all the events in life to go ahead and have merchandise for, I don't think I'd go ahead and create merch for the Capitol Hill riot that just was that just happened. And moreover, create a shirt that said I was there. So Garrett Miller apparently didn't speak to law enforcement officers who arrested him on charges that he stormed the U.S. Capitol in January. But he did wear a T-shirt that said at his Dallas home that sent a clear message to them. Miller's shirt had a photograph of former President Donald Trump, and it said, quote, take America back, and quote, I was there, Washington, D.C., January 6, 2021. So I'm just kind of sitting there asking myself as I'm like looking over at this shirt. I'm waiting for the QVC official commemorative coin set now to immortalize the moment. You know, it's got like the Trump University logo on one side, maybe like Sidney Powell's face on the other side. And of course, you know, with both of them sitting there having to pay out potentially $1.4 billion a pop, you know what's going to happen is I'm waiting for Rudy Giuliani to go corner the NFT market where he can go ahead and just like record himself ripping farts on the camera during the Michigan voter fraud hearing and just sell them as like a commemorative set to help him pay off his like, you know, potential legal fees associated with, you know, the lawsuits that came after that. It should be really fantastic. I figure if some dude could sit there and make $85 selling farts as NFTs, dude, Rudy Giuliani should make a shitload of money off of that shit, right? And then, of course, in the lifestyle of bad choices and things that you probably shouldn't have done, when you're like an Italian mafia figure and you're on the run and you're trying not to get caught, probably one of the worst things to do is, I don't know, starting a YouTube cooking show with your wife out of the Dominican Republic. Because people might catch on and pay attention, you know what I'm saying? So apparently Mark Farine Claude Biart, man, that's a shitload of fucking names, was tracked down through YouTube cooking channel he started with his wife. Shitload. That's right, Gabriel. The Italian police said in a statement, he's been arrested in the Dominican Republic after inadvertently tipping police off with his culinary hobby. So this gangster's love for Italian cuisine and Tattoo Ink made it possible for him to be arrested. Even though he carefully hid his face, he failed to disguise his distinctive body tattoos. So police said they believed Biart to be a member of the notorious 'Ndrangheta, yeah, crime syndicate, one of the most powerful and feared in Europe, from the Calabria region of the toe of southern Italy's boot-shaped peninsula. So I'm just thinking to myself as I'm like looking through this stuff, right? Now that he's arrested, can't you see him like doing prison YouTube videos recreating the prison scene from Goodfellas, only with like Cajun chicken ramen and Velveeta cheese, some instant coffee and vanilla wafers from like, you know, the prison fucking commissary? I mean, imagine for a second, right? As he's doing his cooking demo, he's sitting there cooking. We're going to go ahead and make some Saltan Bucco style like Cajun fucking chicken ramen and stuff. Yeah, they shall not be named. We're going to make some Cajun chicken ramen Saltan Bucco and, you know, from the prison commissary. And while we're doing that, we're going to go ahead and attempt to draft to surreptitiously traffic drugs in the prison pocket. You know, while we're stirring here, we have to work hard not to sneeze, because we don't want to have all the heroin blast out of our anus. That would be an interesting video to watch. That would be very, very bad, right? Oh, God. Yeah, I'm probably going to get shot by the mafia. You know what? It's time for a break right now, because it's one of my favorite parts of the shows. And I know it's Krim and Ron's favorite part, too. This is the Dick Cheese Hour. We love the Dick Cheese Hour. Hey, man, I'm LP Faust. I'm your host, cultural attaché to the stars. Blah, 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 blah. You know the story. Yeah, I was just kind of curious. Is this a topic-driven show that we've got over here?
How about new?
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering. Hey, Krim, I just needed to go ahead and clear a few things by you about the show. Do you think maybe you could help me out or something like that?
No.
Kind of wanted to go ahead and make sure that I'm following the fucking rules here.
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Oh, man, I love it. Ah. Yeah. Hey, Krim, did you want to jump on air and just maybe take over for a little bit? I was just kind of curious, maybe asking. Hey, listen, man, it's Joculation, I think. I'm not sure, but I think it's Joculation. I'm LP Faust. I'm your host this evening. As everybody runs for the fucking door. What is that? Is it over? I don't want any more Bowie music. Yeah, well. It's kind of what happens, man. Sometimes, you know, the mood will go ahead and strike me, and weird shit'll start to come up, you know? You never know what to expect. Wow, this show's kind of like devolved or and all that sort of stuff. I'm laughing because Ron's like, I have a request, and you know what I'm gonna do? This is what I'm gonna say, hey Krim. Do you think you can make the bot or get Julia to make the bot? Like, anytime anyone does a request, just kind of drop, you know?
Fuck
like,
you fucking fuckers!
I mean, that would be the greatest response ever. Because that would get people just, like, pouring in to listen to Jukeblocks just so that they can go ahead and have Fearstick and shout at them every time they make a request, you know? Be like,
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
Hey, Jukeblocks! Hey, Banjo! This song sucks! Can we have another one?
Fuck
I mean,
you fucking fuckers!
Okay, I'll just listen to that song. It would be the greatest thing ever. And you know what would be great? Is if you make it like a jukebox. Make them play. Make them actually, like, pay some Hive to request something different. And then, of course, after they pay, then what happens?
Fuck you fucking fuckers!
There we go. You're not going to get the song anyways. But you could probably get a great drop that'll make you feel wonderful, right? Wow, look at that, man. We don't have a whole heck of a lot of time left. So what do we think about that? Is that, yeah, and apparently I got style now, so look out. Ron wants me to go ahead and use that as your testimonial there, Rich, as, you know, something on my next, oh, did Rich leave us? Aw, sad panda face, man. Rich didn't like my show? I'm hurt. Hey, Rich, you gotta grow a thicker skin, man.
Can I make myself clear?
Uh-huh.
Because I am not going to write this shit down.
At any rate, man, back to the show over here. Man, I got to say something, Krim. It was a little bit creepy, right? I want to draw you. And all I can think of is that line in the Titanic. Jack, draw me like one of your women. You do realize they were all hookers, right? I don't care. Draw me like one of your women. And I'm just like, excellent. Or something like, you know, one of those like serial killer shows or whatever. But that's all right. I'm sure that it was all in good fun. Sort of, maybe. Who knows? Do you have an Instagram account so we can all follow you? So what do? We started off this show with a lot of sacrilege. We talked about a woman who claims that she was made pregnant by the gusts of wind entering her vagina. And then from there, we talked about the fantastic and the symbolism and the somber joyfulness of the season and, you know, how people were like, looking towards the Pope to lead the world in thoughts, prayers, and set thirst traps everywhere. As a teacher denied humping a cardboard cutout of the Pope in a viral dance mishap. And then, of course, we talked about the Louisiana priest who, you know, just felt felt compelled by the power of Christ to bring in two dominatrices and effectively, you know, film a video inside the church and right on the altar. And he was charged with some vandalism after the altar threesome. And then from there, we went into, you know, the problems that are plaguing the church, like this one dude that spent 140 grand of offertory money on porn because, you know, he was the treasurer and it only took him 4 years for that. It's been an emotional roller coaster. Oh, my God, Normark. And then from there, we talked about we gave out the great moments and just shut the fuck up. Olivia Jade, she won hands down. And then from there, we went and looked at Madison Cawthorn and suggested that maybe he go ahead and help out his good buddy over there, you know, Matt Gaetz, who's, you know, in need of some help. Gabriel, great freaking job. And then, of course, we talked about the fantastic new product that Velveeta is teasing. It's V for Velveeta, creamy liquid gold skincare line. You too can be orange and like creamy and I don't know, kind of like get that spray on tan look of Donald Trump. Then we talked about the wonderful cultural revolution of the clubhouse room where people moan like whales. So you can get involved in a whale moaning moan off or whatever the hell it is. Then from there, a man rushed to the hospital because he decided to combat the trend of like infertility and micropenises that are going to plague men in 2045 and decided to go ahead and put on a 3-centimeter nut around his penis after he, you know, lubed it up with some baby oil. And they had to cut it off with some metal cutters. So he got to go ahead and take that home in a jar of formaldehyde, not his dick, the nut. You know what I'm saying? Something like that. Then we talked about really tough times that are happening in businesses and how they're trying to compete nowadays. We talked about the fantastic Montana Senator Steve Daines waxing nostalgic about when local meth producers used to produce all the meth before the Mexican cartels just like took it all over. You know what I'm saying? And then after that, we went into like how Nike is suing the shit out of the maker of the Satan shoes that were done by Lil Nas, I think his name was, for his like video. So we went and took a look at that over there. What else do we look at? Oh, we took a look at some Girl Scout that was a monster at freaking selling all the cookies. She sold like 32,484 boxes of cookies in one season, which equates to, dude, that's a shitload of freaking Thin Mints in one fucking season. Oh, Clay's telling me he drew Isaria, and it's not, it's even an NFT, so you can give me money for it. But I didn't want a picture of Isaria. You know what you should do, Clay? You should draw a picture of Krim, and then Rich can go ahead and buy it, you know? So then that way, he'll have a picture to draw her like one of his women. You know what I mean? I'm just saying. At any rate, where was I? Oh, yeah. So she sold a shitload of Girl Scout cookies. And then we've got somebody who's made ordering takeout or takeaway so much better. Because why? Because they've got the Grub Buzz, which effectively will go ahead and give you an orgasm right before the fucking food arrives. I'm just saying, when the male version of that comes out, boy, that's going to be fucking terrible. At any rate, so where do we go from there? Let's take a look. Oh, we started talking about some bad lifestyle choices, like things to commemorate events, right? One of the worst ones was the Capitol Hill rioter that wore the I Was There shirt when he was arrested. And then from there, we went ahead and checked out the Italian mafia fugitive who was busy going ahead and creating some YouTube Italian cooking videos with his wife over on a channel. And for some reason or other, kind of got caught and was arrested. Couldn't imagine how they tracked him down, right? And then from there, we went ahead and talked about how there's a Swedish study out that effectively says that Viagra may not only lengthen a man's penis, but his lifespan. And that apparently, it's great protection for the heart. So dealing with those like 5-hour-plus erections every day is a good thing. It's a good thing. What a fucked up world. You know, Normak, I think you're right. It was an emotional roller coaster, this one, right? We touched on all of the things that needed to be touched on. We even touched ourselves to some degree or other, right? No? That's what the Grub Buzz is for? Yeah, I agree with you on that one. We talked about whether or not requests are actually going to be fielded on this show as well. And
how about new?
And we also learned about how Rich would like to go ahead and and draw Krim like one of his women. Fucking 5-hour erection. That's painful, man. That's fucking painful. Could you imagine, like, if you happen to be wandering around the house and you run into shit with it? That would not be fun. You just started, Normak? That's a shame. You got to get on the freaking train, man. Because remember, by the time it gets to the place where we've arrived, you're already well into, like, I don't know, 3 or 4 drinks, and things aren't so bad. Like with Ron's show, you know, Ron is done when he's sitting there saying, all the beers are gone. So with all the beers gone, I don't know if I can do this. I got to pee, so here's some shitty banjo music. Here, listen to this stuff. We'll call it Dark Country, but really, it's worse. And I'm back. beers are still gone. I'm now drinking all the vodka. I don't know how much longer I can last. So see, that's Ron's show. And then occasionally Ron will be like, you know what? I don't feel like doing a show tonight. How many people can I pull into the booth from the audience? Oh, my God. Uh-oh. Semi-realism art. I will say this much. One of the coolest, like, realism pieces that I've seen had to be some realism sculpture that's over in the Denver Art Museum. It's freaking creepy how real it is. The nude models, he's even gone ahead and put in all the goosebumps that they had while he was perving on them in the studio, and the cold air was, like, blowing on them. So, yeah, I want to hear you after 6 hours, LP. Hey, LP, are we ever going to hear you after 6 hours of doing a show?
How about new?
Yeah, that's not going to happen, Ron. Well, let me put it to you this way, Ron. If I was doing a show kind of like you did, I might be able to do 6 hours. But I can't do that. I got to do an LP-style show, man. It's like, here, everything that I can muster in 2 hours crammed into there along with some punk rock that only lasts like 30 seconds. So there you go. Being comfortable with your art and what you want to do. Uh-oh, we're talking philosophical shit about artwork over here. Take some Viagra so I can do 5 hours. Listen, I'm not on a porn set trying to go ahead and get in like 6 or 7 shots. You know what I'm saying? I'm like on a radio show. Having a 5-hour erection is not going to help me on the radio show. It will protect my heart. But will it actually add to the show at all? I mean,
how about new?
I'd be like, yeah, I got something a cat could scratch and sharpen its claws on right now. And I'm kind of distracted. I got to go. Oh, my God. Ron, I'll draw you like a bozo. Look at this stuff. See, Rich, you see what you've done, and you're not even in the room. Or are you? No, you're not even in the room. See, even Sun snuck out of the room. I saw that. That's how bad the show is gone. It's devolved. The good news is, after we go ahead and like finish here in the next, I don't know, 1 minute or so, I'm going to burn the tape, and it'll be great. Oh, my God. Take some Viagra. No, if he's using Viagra, we won't be on the show at all. Yeah, you tell him, AMR. You tell him. Oh, God. Unless we got finished a big project, the guys brought up. Well, you know something, Normak? I wouldn't mind helping you out with your whiskey there. You know, maybe sometime in the future. Who knows? We'll have to see. I'll make sure that we have, like, you know, another program of just complete sacrilege. So then that way you can go ahead and enjoy every minute of it. Troy, you like the chick from the Toto video. All right, man. Enough is enough. To everybody that's come out, I appreciate it. Thanks for coming out. Thanks for stopping by. Thanks for killing a little bit of time with the rest of us. To those of you that came and left, well, it was cool to have you here. Maybe we'll catch you on a recording at some point in the future. Again, if you want to, just go ahead and follow me at Twitter. Follow me over at Facebook. Or just subscribe to the show and we'll mercilessly ping the shit out of you to death. You know how it goes. So, kids, as William Shakespeare once said, all the world's a stage. As we strut and fret across the stage of life, always be sure to ask yourself, why watch the show when you can be the show? I'm LP Faust checking out. Take care, kids. Good night. Catch you next week.
Thanks for checking out this episode of Joculation. We hope you enjoyed the episode and encourage you to join us for the live interactive social broadcast every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. To experience Joculation in its entirety, listen live on mspwaves.com or join the audience in the Circle of Intimacy on the Peace, Abundance, and Liberty Discord server every Friday night, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Mountain Time. That's also 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Eastern Time. If you enjoy Joculation, I have another podcast you might like, Everyday Crazy. Search for them and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening to this right now. If you're listening over a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of the podcast. You'll find show notes which may include details you may have missed and links to my Twitter, Instagram, and Patreon pages. If you'd like to hear more of Joculation and other shows from LP, in addition to extra content, early access, merchandise, and other perks, you can subscribe to my Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/LPFaust. You can also find me on Twitter and Instagram. Please be sure to follow me on Twitter @FaustLP and Instagram @LPFaust. And thank you. Joculation is created, produced, hosted and edited by me, LP Faust. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.